Afternoon, everyone. Sorry. Welcome to the Orange County Veterans Advisory Council meeting on June 12, 2024. For the Pledge of Allegiance, Bryce remarks. Please rise.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance at the beginning.
Pledge of Allegiance. Liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, everyone can be seated. County staff, will you please call the roll? John Furrier.
Present.
Eric Duane. Alexis Federico.
Present.
Robert McDonald.
I'm here.
Michael Radigan. Stephen Vargas.
Here.
And Stephanie Wade.
Present.
And we have quorum. All right, thank you. A couple of reminders for today's meeting. Please set all phones to mute or vibrate at this time for the duration of the meeting. We will now proceed to the agenda for today's meeting. It contains a brief description of each item to be considered. Except for as otherwise provided by law, no action shall be taken on any item not appearing in today's agenda. Public comments must be within the subject matter jurisdiction of the Orange County Veteran Advisory Council and are limited to 3 minutes. So if you wish to address the board or council, please make sure you've completed. Members of the public may address the board, the council, regarding any agenda item or off-agenda item with the subject matter jurisdiction of OCVAC, provided that no action shall be taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Again, you'll have up to 3 minutes to address the council, and county staff will go ahead and keep track of time for us. So I have 2 speaker requests. Are there any additional speaker requests? Nope. Okay. Mr. Foster?
Yes.
All right.
Would you like me to stand here? Or?
Sure. Of course, whatever's comfortable for you.
My name is Rick Foster. I'm founder of Universe Property and Perry Eastman Investments, and you are safe here. I've been a veteran housing provider for over 40 years. And recently, some of my veterans have been struggling with some mental health crises and some other issues. And I have contacted VASH, and I work closely with Orange County Housing and with VASH, Veterans Services. And I had a tenant that was, he had been a long-term tenant, started a spiral downwards. I contacted VASH, they referred me back to Orange County Housing. Orange County Housing referred me back to VASH, vice versa. This went on for a year. At the end of the day, I had to do an eviction. And it cost me over $25,000. And I reached out to VASH and I asked VASH, how can we better assist not only veterans, but also housing providers such as myself, so that we're not stuck with the tab of 25 grand when, you know, everybody puts their hands up, walks away, and leaves the landlord basically dealing with the aftermath. In my case, it was only $25,000. In other cases, it's much higher than $25,000. And when I went to Orange County Housing, I said, you know, there has to be some type of solution here. And I don't know what the solution is, but I know that you have a housing commission, you have a veterans commission, but I'm exempt from being on any one of those committees to offer my 40 years of experience and my vast knowledge of providing housing for veterans because I receive revenue from the Housing Authority, and from VASH. So because of that, I'm exempt from being on any of those committees. Therefore, those committees are completely vacant and deficient because they don't have the voice of somebody like myself, whether it be me or somebody else. I've asked for variances in this from the Orange County Board of Supervisors and been told, no, we can't do that because that's Orange County Housing Authority. Orange County Housing says, no, it's a VASH, you know, federal regulation. Contacting Congress, they said, well, you have to go back to Orange County Housing or to HUC. So we can see where the circles go, no place. In the meantime, veterans are suffering, housing providers are suffering, and this is why there is a deficiency in being able to provide housing for needy or at-need veterans. If you're a young person starting out and you have a rental or you've had to, you know, move for your job and you rent out your condo, you should not be burdened with if I rent to a veteran, I'm going to get stuck with a $25,000 bill at the end of the day. No help. That's all I have to say.
Great. Thank you.
We have your contact information. We have your contact information.
Yeah.
Yes, we've got it on the speed. Pass along.
It's definitely has been on speed.
All right. Next, Mr. Richardson. James Richardson.
That's a to pass out. I've met Stephanie before.
Thank you, sir.
Didn't come in the band stick, did
you? No, no, man. He does not give me a thing.
All right. Good afternoon. My name is James Richardson. I'm with the North Orange County Vet Center. I'm a retired Marine. What the Vet Center does is we provide readjustment counseling services, so PTSD counseling. Ironically, you would mention it, the veteran that suffers from mental health issues. Our primary mission is to provide mental health care to the veterans, such as the veteran that the gentleman spoke about her just a few seconds ago. We do follow the VA. So what that means is the services provided at the Vet Center are free. We do readjustment counseling. What does that mean? We do we provide individual couples counseling, marital counseling. Not only do we provide counseling for veterans, we also serve the active duty and reserve National Guard members as well. Eligibility is a little different from any other mental health. We are an extension of the VA healthcare system. But we are strict population. We have like a little population that we cater to, originally combat veterans and MST, military sexual trauma. We have expanded since COVID. The expansion is in there. You know, the drone pilots, the National Guard reservists that supported the Border Patrol mission, the riots, the fires. So anything like that. So if you know of a veteran that is seeking mental health, if the wait is too long at the VA, our wait's a lot short. There's over 300 vet centers nationwide. So the closest one to here is my vet center, which is the North Orange County, located in Garden Grove. If you have any questions, my contact information is on the card. If you would like for me to set up the time to meet, talk more about what we do, activity groups, you know, the counseling sessions, the groups that we offer. We're trying to bring in moral injury as well as rock climbing and guitars for vets as well. So we're in a mix of expanding the modalities that we treat our veterans. So thank you for your time.
Is there a, you mentioned North County is the closest. Is there another center in the South?
Yeah, I think it's in Mission.
Mission Viejo. That's the one off of Crown Valley.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we're sisters. We were first founded, and then they branched off of us.
Oh, they're the snotty younger sisters.
Yeah, they're the younger ones.
All right, thank you. Are any other public comments?
Limited. So,
I'll just have you fill out a form after.
Okay. So my name is Rebecca Kopsack. I work at the VA here in Long Beach. I'm the public affairs officer, the outreach specialist. So kind of piggyback off what James said, we do the healthcare. We provide benefits and things like that. So I'm always happy to come out and do briefings or anything like that. Any education to any veterans, providers, community, whatever you want. Happy to just kind of show up at the VA. Things like that. I have a business card.
Okay, we'll connect up with the VA. I'd like a card, please. Okay. Anyone else? Saved rounds? Nope. So that concludes the public comments portion of the agenda. Moving on to the presentation. Our presenter today. Alicia, are you here? Oh, there you are. Very nice to see you. Who'll be giving a presentation on the free tobacco cessation services in Orange County?
Is this the retainer plan? Is it one supposed to be the other?
No. Yes. Well, it's the second one we right now.
Okay. So as she's handing out her cards, I'd like to note that it's fantastic that we're doing this and going out in the community, because really we have so many people, and so this is fantastic that you all are here. Yeah. Good job on staff to make these arrangements as well.
Thank you.
Thursday, but I do have some extras for them as well in case you have an opportunity to give to them if they want to be. So good afternoon. My name is Dr. Alicia Carranza. I'm a health educator with the Tobacco Use Prevention Program. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here today to speak at OC Veterans Advisory Council. First and foremost, I would like to thank you all for your service. And as I dive into my presentation, I would like to ask just by a raise of hands of how many of you either smoke or vape or know somebody that smokes or vapes. So a couple of you. So that really does demonstrate that tobacco use is something that's so common in our community. And unfortunately, some of our communities face more disparities than others. Among military veterans, there are typically higher rates of tobacco use compared to our civilian population. And yet, nearly 7 out of 10 veterans want to quit smoking for their mental and or physical health. Quitting smoking has a myriad of benefits for our physical health, but our mental health, it doesn't always get as much attention. Quitting smoking has been shown to reduce feelings of depression, reduce feelings of anxiety, as well as reducing rates of suicide and rehospitalization. So that really shows that quitting smoking can quite literally save lives in more ways than one. And one of the benefits of what I'm about to talk about today is that tobacco quit lines can help folks nearly double their chances of successfully quitting. And all of the services that I'm going to share today are absolutely 100% free. So first I'd like to share our local quit smoking vaping program, which is 1-866-NEW-LUNG. They do provide free services to anybody living, working, or going to school in Orange County. They provide free personalized counseling. They can do this in person or virtually. One of the really great benefits of our local program is they're able to come to any site throughout Orange County. So if you have a group of individuals who are wanting to quit in any particular area in OC, we can come bring the services to them. So we want to make this as low barrier as possible for people. One thing I like to highlight as well is that we don't even go through insurance for these services, because that can be a concern for some folks. This is just a service that we as a tobacco prevention program pay for through our grants, so it's 100% free. We provide quit kits. One of the really great benefits of that is it helps with that physical part of the addiction. So whether it's vaping or cigarette use, a lot of times they get used to this habit, that hand-to-mouth motion. So we provide things like water, toothpicks that have cinnamon flavor. Cinnamon is actually a flavor that counteracts the taste of tobacco, so it really makes it very deterring to use it. And they still get that, again, physical hand-to-mouth motion. In addition, adults are eligible to receive free nicotine patches. Those are typically a value of $50. We give it absolutely for free. If anybody needs to repeat services, we understand that it typically takes folks 8 to 11 attempts before they quit permanently. Our doors are always open. We are more than welcome to have people come back and return to services. If they do return to services, they are eligible for another round of those nicotine patches. It's very beneficial to have the patches because it helps with withdrawal. One of the things that makes withdrawal so challenging is it makes people want to go back to the habit. If I'm feeling irritable, if I'm feeling nauseous, if I'm feeling all of these uncomfortable emotions and sensations, I'm going to want to pick up that product to alleviate that. Certain conditions, certain mental health conditions, can actually make it more challenging and make withdrawal symptoms even more severe. So experiencing trauma, such as with PTSD, can actually make withdrawal symptoms more elevated, which makes it more challenging for folks to quit. Nicotine patches help minimize those withdrawal symptoms to really support individuals in ensuring that they're able to remain quit. If you all have my contact information, if you're ever interested in having us come out to provide education to other facilities, or again, to provide the cessation services on site, please feel free to reach out to me and we can always get that coordinated. Next slide, please. Kick It California is the state quit line. We like to highlight this because multiple modalities can be very effective. So the higher the dependence level, the more support and the more important NRTs are. You can also get NRTs for free through Kick It California. Again, this is not based on insurance. There are 5 different languages. In addition to what we offer, they also offer Chinese. So we do offer English, Spanish, Vietnamese, Korean, and Farsi here in OC. Kick It California does offer Chinese as well. There's apps, there's text-based programs and online chat. One of the really great things about those is it can give somebody 24/7 support. So we have our counselors that can come give them support during the day, you know, either virtual counseling, one-on-one, in person, and then they can utilize these services again to get that support as they're working on their quit attempt throughout the day. Next slide, please. Truth Initiative is another great one, especially for some of our younger populations. They can text DITCHVAPE to 88709 and get free text-based services. And one of the things to note is that anybody can use all of these services. So it's not a one and done. You can use multiple of these, and we highly encourage that. Next slide, please. There's a wide breadth of text-based services, some that are specific for veterans. So Smoke-Free Vet is a text-based service. So you text VET to 47848, and then they can receive free counseling services. So again, providing multiple modalities can be very helpful just to ensure that we're reaching folks and giving them all of the resources that they need to support their quit attempt. Next slide, please. Nicotine Anonymous. So that is another group that supports individuals who are trying to stay quit. Hope for Nicotine Vapors is the one that's here locally in Orange County. They are meeting online on Thursdays, but you can also visit the website or call 1-877-TRINICA to get a list of other meetings that are local. Next slide, please. And so because we know there's such a connection between tobacco use and mental health, we wanted to be sure to provide information on various mental wellness resources that are here at the county. Next slide, please. So there's a couple different apps. They're available both on Android and iOS. If you are able to get these slides after from the county staff, they do have the links there if you ever want to check those out. Mm-hmm. Next slide, please. OC Warmline NAMI, so it is 24/7 confidential support for folks in Orange County. So you know, please feel free to share that with your contacts who may be needing that. Next slide, please. OC Links is also another 24/7 resource here in Orange County. They do provide additional services to connect folks to mental health resources here, whether that's at an outpatient level, inpatient, or other. Next slide, please. And in addition, because we know that all of these different aspects of our health interact with each other, and we know that not having sufficient amounts of food can cause a lot of stress. A lot of stress can then cause us to want to engage in unhealthy habits. So we wanted to provide information about our CalFresh SNAP program. And so if you need help, you know, get to get some in-person help for that application. Next slide, please. We invite you to follow us on social media. That's another great way to get connected to the services that we have here at the healthcare agency, as well as just any other happenings and community events that are going on. Next slide, please. And again, thank you so much for allowing me to be here today. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Dr. Kronza. And thank you for following us to not one, but two locations way off campus for you due to a mix up on our part. We definitely appreciate it and your commitment to helping, you know, specifically Orange County veterans. For all the Marines in the audience, I'm going to ask the obvious question. I noticed there was a hotline to stop dipping, but I suppose that all these services also apply to stop use of, you know, dipping products as
they
well.
Do.
Smoke,
right? There are some that are a little more geared to that, but a lot of the same things that we talk about, a lot of the same kind of tools and resources kind of go across the board for whether it's dip, chew, snus, cigarillos, vapes, traditional cigarettes, all those kind of products.
So a veteran or anyone in North Carolina could call the hotline for those dipping resources as well. And then for the mental health apps, are those just open source, free download? Or
absolutely.
Do you have to go?
Because those are just completely free.
Okay. And then this presentation will be posted on our website, right? Yes. As well as part of our, you know, it's part of the agenda packet, right?
Yeah, I can edit it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, great. So then everyone can have it. Does anyone have any?
I just wanted to ask, you know, as county agency, how effectively are we integrating it with the Veterans Resource Center?
So that's a really great question. And that's kind of why I'm here today, is we've been having a little challenge getting some inroads into the veterans community. We used to, I believe, our Nulung provider, who's our subcontractor, used to go to some sites, but I don't think that they're connected to them quite yet. So we're trying to do a lot of outreach. We've actually gone to the North OC Veterans Center in Burning Grove and a couple other locations just to provide, you know, some education and resources, because we understand that it is so much higher. And again, especially with the trauma, it can make it so much more challenging. And just one thing that I actually did forget to mention is that we are updating our adult smoking cessation curriculum to incorporate trauma-informed principles to try to make it a little bit more accessible for certain populations. So that will become forthcoming, those updates, in the next couple of months with our particular adult smoking cessation curriculum. But if there's, again, if there's any other agencies that you think might benefit from having us come present to them or, again, provide these services, we're more than happy to come out anywhere in OC.
Okay. I know Eric's not here, but... is there any way that the folks that are working at they're informed and they're sharing.
I'm going to want to connect with you so that we can get, because we are maybe do some efforts of onboarding a staff member that can focus a little bit more on enhanced case management. And you're exactly, even that we're our partners here and some other services that we're connected with, but definitely connect with the veterans population and refer some folks.
Wonderful, wonderful. We want to support them as best as we can.
Is there a social media presence with your organization? I mean,
yes. So
I mean, that's how you're going to reach young service members.
Definitely. We do have some. If there's any like other agencies that maybe we can kind of tag, you know, on some of the social media, that would be great. We do have the HCA social media that we put a lot of our content on. We do have a Get It Out OC page, but that's geared more for youth. So, you know, individuals under the age of 18. But we are constantly putting out content both on our new Lung Partners website as well as our HCA social media. So if there's any way to get connected, you know, in tagging or anything like that, I'm not too familiar with social media myself. But if there's any way to kind of get connected to those social media accounts for any veteran serving organizations, please let me know and we'd be happy to try to do that.
Yeah, it seems like there'd be some interesting opportunities for partnership.
I was just thinking about this event I just went on the site here, can't find it yet, but we have an events and outreach committee that we're trying to do more with some of the veterans events, but put those on your site as well.
Wonderful. And we would be happy to come out to those events to host a booth if that's an opportunity. We can always provide the education information. And if our new lung providers are available, they can actually be there at the booth to provide express counseling. So just depending on what dates and times are.
Claudia, with a veteran-geared event, could that be something that our communications committee could publish? I mean, you know, they have like a who, what, where, why, and how of an event that's geared towards vets. Is that something that within our tools, such as the website calendar, could that be published?
We can share. It goes back to the concept of making sure that we are vetting right, and that we can market and we can spread awareness. We can post and tag also with social media.
Sure.
That is something you mentioned with the younger population that we want to make sure that we're in front of it. So that is some internal processes too. We're expanding some staffing levels to get in front of that and stay up to date, because things you post now and it's already, you know, too late. So we want to stay on top of that, in addition to some of our website updates, to be able to post some of these and highlight some of these programs and events coming up. So I'm definitely getting your contact information, because I think we need to connect to bring a little bit more awareness, including information like this on our newsletters and things like that. So yeah, I'm excited. Thank you for this presentation.
Great, and thank you again for inviting me.
Thanks for coming twice. That concludes our presentation today. Thank you again. Moving on, there's no executive committee report. The executive committee did not meet between this month and the last month. Moving on to the OCVSO update. My turn.
Yes.
All right. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much. I hope everyone is well, and we've had a great time with our parking. Hopefully we don't get towed. So I do have several updates wanted to bring to our attention. We're coming on to our early college fee waiver season. Our academic school year is approaching for 24-25. We have just recently, last week, updated our website to include a new info/training video that talks and walks our veterans and their family members through the process of applying for the college fee waiver. For the next few months through the summer is when we see that peak in our college fee waiver applications, reviews and approvals. So we went ahead and did a short, hopefully grabbing information video where it shows you step by step, what are the plans to apply for that we service, how to apply through our portal, and walk you through that process. And of course, if there's ever any questions on top of that, that video provides a connection to how to reach out to us, phone call, come into our office, schedule appointment, or most importantly, if that's something that we can do online that is the quick and easiest way to submit an application and all necessary documents. So we're going to be quite busy here. So we've solicited some additional assistance with some staffing to help us through these next few months on getting our college behaviors taken care of and approved timely. So definitely working on that. I want to give you our website, the www.veterans.oc.gov. Right in the front, it has a highlight reel, and right in the front of it has the college fee waiver link. And you can watch the video. It's a short little 4-minute video, and then it takes you directly on that page to the online application portal. So I wanted to share that with you. That's part of a step forward to updating our websites and bringing information forth. One of the things we want to tackle is definitely bringing more education and awareness to our veterans, their family members, their dependents and survivors, so that as they're reaching out to us, they're best informed where we can arm someone with tools to be able to at least get something started on your own, then we want to definitely do that. So very happy to tell you that we got that going. We've been in the process of updating our Veterans Service Office brochures. They've been all updated. We're just now in the process of getting appropriate numbers printed so that we can share that too. And that's something we definitely want to share with our advisory board members as you're out in your communities. There's some you want to have with you updated on how to reach us, all our contact information, and a little information on tips on how to prepare when you are making an appointment, when you want to come see us, or if you're just walking in. So make sure that I update you that. I will keep you updated as we get these available and go through that process. Some good news. We've been working, as you all know, we've had some new staff that we've been onboarding. We've onboarded 90% of our staff now. We have one kind of joining us at the end of the month. We have gotten five staff accredited that are helping us, whether they're doing the claims or they're helping us on the back end on the administrative supportive duties on that. So want to just thank our staff for their diligence. I know our veteran service officers have been working hard in providing a lot of training and guidance to make sure that we are passing through our state's accreditation so that we can be on our way and doing a great job in delivering and helping our veterans and their families, whether they're calling us on the phone or having a phone appointment or they're coming in person or as a walk-in. So I'm just very happy to see that because I know we've been a little down on our staffing numbers for 3 months now. So very excited, wanted to share that with you. I don't know how familiar you are, but on a semi-annual basis, our office does receive audits from CalVet, our funders and revenue streams. They audit us for claims processing, information on our forms, our quality assurance of our claims filing, and we just completed one. We received notice just this past month of May that our last 6 months of semi-annual audit had no findings, so I was very proud to say yay. Our staff, both at the front end and on the back end on the administrative side, doing a great job of making sure that we're going through and that all our claims, all our forms and everything is uploaded appropriately and fully completed. So just wanted to share that with you. Those are always good news for us when we receive those notices from the state where we have no findings, right? So wanted to share that with you. And kind of piggybacking on my comment on the our presenter, Dr. Carranza, we did get granted, I believe I updated last month, we were granted the Mental Health Service Act, Prop 63, part of the Prop 63 funding for another 2-year term that starts 24-25 and then 25-26. We got a total of $300,000, which gives us $150,000 per year to really focus and enhance on accessing mental health services for our veterans, our families, and our dependents that either come and visit through our office or are calling us to connect to whether it's benefit actual services or mental health or any other needs. So this is where we are excited to move forward now with these grant funds to be able to hire a staff member that can really focus on that piece of case managing our veterans that come into our office or call us or need this extended help, and maybe they get kind of a little buried through, like, where do I start? Where do I go? I have a phone number. I called. I didn't get connected. So through those efforts, we'll be able to provide us that ability to follow up with them, make sure that they get connected, make those warm transfers, and really connect with our communities that are, whether it's county, the state, VA, at whatever level, to make sure that they're accessing their needed mental health services. So very, very excited to share with you on that. We are just submitting the ability to receive these grant awards, hopefully before the end of this month, to our board so that we can move forward with next steps on recruitment efforts and getting that program off the ground. Part of that program also allows us to partner with Veterans Legal Services. So we will have a very small, but some contracts so that we can help our veterans are dealing with any type of legal matters that's stopping them from assistance. So I'm really excited to show. It is a grant that we've had in the past. We changed it and enhanced it a little bit different this new grant term to add that navigation, that case management piece of it. And we requested, of course, additional funding to go with that to help support that. And we were able to get a little bit more. So that cushion does, and it's going to help us achieve those efforts for the next couple of years. So I'll be more than happy to provide that update as we go with our programs and our veterans and what we're touching. And that helps us connect too with our county partners, with healthcare agencies, with our mental health services as well, and really keep up that connection. So wanted to share that with you. I believe I updated last time. I didn't give as much information on where we are. We were still pending on documents at the state level. So wanted to share that for you. On another note, some good news always, you know, we always want to brag when we are nominated and or receive any kind of awards and recognition for some of the work that we're doing. Our community services, so under our division, of course, we have a veteran service office, we have our office on aging, and we have our workforce development. Within all the three programs, we have a combination of collaborative programs that we work together so that we can make sure that we connect our veterans, whether it's veteran services or they need extended aging services or they need employment services. This year, the winners for three of our programs. Definitely one highlighting the Veterans Employment Program. That is the collaboration that we have with our workforce development department, and really focusing on getting veterans connected to employment training opportunities, whether they're active, getting ready to transition into civilian, will be at the base, or if they're already in the civilian life looking for employment opportunities, that's definitely something. So we won an award on that. So I wanted to give kudos to the staff that are diligently working on these efforts, and of course our funders, right, that allow us to provide these types of programs. The other program falls under the umbrella of the Office on Aging, however, still connected to our veterans and bringing these opportunities, is the non-emergency medical transportation. So our senior non-emergency medical transportation, we have service providers within our communities that provide anyone who is aging and disabled, and of course our aging veterans, opportunities to get transportation to their medical, like non-emergency, right, transportation medical needs, to their clinics, and some of those also even, you know, to come to the VA in Long Beach. So that won an award for highlighting all the, you know, over 120,000 trips that we provide to our aging population in our county. And then, of course, under the employment side, we had another award that we wanted to highlight under our business and employment opportunities. So that is definitely focusing and really bringing forth and making sure that we bring that knowledge forward to our veterans, seeking employment and overall are just individuals, residents, of course, throughout our county seeking opportunities. So just wanted to highlight that because I know as we get like blinders and we're really focusing on our to-dos and areas where we can improve, I wanted to just take this opportunity to also show where we have been putting in quite a bit of a work and want to acknowledge that. So we're very proud, if I can brag for just a little bit, about those. So wanted to do a quick little reminder. I believe our advisory board, along with our other advisory boards within our division, received an email of some volunteering opportunities. If you haven't received it, please let us know. We'll be happy to send it to you again. But there are partnering with our OC Parks where they have Cinema at the Park series this summer, starting last Friday, June 7th was the first cinema series, like Movie at the Parks. Our division is tabling this resource, and I believe even Ms. Monica is on of those events. But we are partnering to bring forth information as families, older adults, veterans, people are out there engaging in our summer events. This gives an opportunity for our advisory members to participate, join our resource table so that we can bring awareness and information forth to our communities. So if you did not receive the email, let us know. Let Monica know. We'll resend. I believe that we may have had, we received a couple of feedback, not necessarily from this advisory board, but some feedback that we may have been a small glitch on some email responses, but we're definitely getting through that. So just let us know, because we'd love to bring that opportunity forth to you as you're joining your communities. These series are throughout our county, from north to central to south. So let us know on these Fridays. The last one I wanna say is August 23rd, so we definitely have some opportunities within this month of July and then through the Fridays in August. So I believe that is all that I have.
Can you resend that email to all of us? I think I'm trying to
remember. Definitely.
It has the locations and dates.
Yes, yeah. She'll have all that information so that we can sign up and we can keep track on who's joining us on what particular day so that we know who the point of contact will be, what staff member will be present there as well to assist.
Yeah, is that Doug Woolley's group that got the appointment?
Yes, Doug Woolley. Yes.
Yes, he is
our manager overseeing the Veterans Employment Program, and he has two staff members with him, and they all report to our Veteran Service Officer, Eric, who has been actually really hands-on with the Veterans Employment Program from the beginning. So it was only fitting to allow him to continue to support that team and provide that level of guidance to them. And obviously their efforts are to really be out in the community, not just at the workforce one-stop centers, but also at the Los Alamillos base, throughout our community events as well, where we can have them present and at the colleges as well. So a lot of strong presence with this small and mighty team.
you just mentioned Eric. Is there a possibility he's going to be able to meet us at some of these meetings out in the field?
Yeah, we definitely want to.
Some people were asking me some questions afterwards, and you know, it'd be nice to see him out here.
Yes.
I know he's busy inside, but we're coming out to the community, and his presence is dearly needed.
Yeah, we're definitely very excited as we're moving through that direction of getting our staff onboarded and our trainings, and spending quite a good amount of time there. We hear some of the feedback that you've had for
Claudia, the case management you're going to be providing, what's the criteria? Who's getting the case management? And then also the legal provider, who's actually providing legal services?
Any veteran, any family member, any dependent that's coming through our office or contacting us that they're having a challenge accessing services, we will definitely take that on and follow up with them and walk them through the process and make sure that we explore what their needs are, maybe what the challenges are, and try to mitigate some of that to make sure that they get connected
So it is open to.
So what's how's that pipeline work? I mean, are people sort
calling
of seeing
into
out?
Our office?
Okay.
Yeah, calling into the Veteran Service Office, whether they're calling in, whether they're on a phone appointment, a walk-in, an actual in-person appointment, or just a simple phone call, trying to get information, services where to get started, or in general, if they're already connected and having some challenges, actually doing, you know, the intaking to find out what is that challenge, what has been the barrier, and definitely do our due diligence to make sure. But it is open to all veterans seeking or needing that service.
So they don't have to know about it and ask for it. You're sort of
correct.
Your staff
as
is figuring out why don't you work with.
Oh yeah. So for example, if we do have a veteran coming in and they're having an appointment, maybe this appointment specific to a claim service or a benefit, and in that conversation we're talking, either our staff are noticing some potential need for mental health services, and or the veteran themselves disclose that yes, there's a need or they've been having some challenges. Then we will connect them with the case manager so that they can do the continuous, that case management piece to really connect with them to figure out, okay, well, what is the need there? Are they brand new, trying to just get mental health services started for the first time, or are they already receiving and then there's some challenges there? So we definitely want to take opportunity to have this one case manager be able to follow up and have that much needed like follow-up conversation where we find out after someone visits us and we say, okay, call here, connect here, call your mental health case manager or provider here, and they leave us and then they don't, right? And then for our claims reps to follow up, it's, you know, that's usually a hard thing to do, go back and follow up on the extended like supportive services. So this case manager will be able to help with that piece.
I think this harkens back to when I went in for my driver's license, right? And I was talking to a gentleman in there, an Army vet, who's there to get his driver's license, and then was talking because he had no idea that they could also do claims, right? He was going to pay some, you know, rando off the street, a percentage of whatever he would recover. And I was like, oh, you know, that's what this office does, right? And the idea of upselling, like, you know, there should be a checklist, like, okay, you come in for a driver's license.
Correct.
Do you need anything, you know, like discharge upgrades, right? Because we know that like VLI and Vets Legal can handle discharge upgrades, right? Or, it, you know, did your appeal get denied? Or if you're seeking, you know, for the first time to make a claim based on mental health services,
correct.
Or do you have a provider? Do you, here's some resources, or, hey, you smell like smoke. Do you ever be interested in, you know, tobacco cessation?
Correct.
So it seems like it's a really good opportunity to just be the focal point to link all these different resources
and
upsell them, for lack of a better.
And the focus of that case manager, right, navigator, is because it's through the Mental Health Service Act component.
Mm-hmm.
So the component has to be that linkage, that need for mental health services and accessing and enhancing that access. So that is the focus. But we do find we're very fortunate too that we have a wonderful partnership with our healthcare agency that has the OC for Vets that really focuses on the mental health, that we're already sharing our space there. So we can just walk them from one door to the other and get them connected and making sure they do. But then there's still a component on those that might visit. That first little hiccup you get, or didn't get a call, or maybe I didn't get through, they don't follow through all the time. So then our case manager will be able to literally do that case management piece to be able to call and say, hey, last time we talked, you were going to connect with ABC. Did that happen? What was the issue? Okay, let's make some calls. Let's connect you. Let's make sure that you get connected. And of course, these are voluntary services, right? So the person themselves has to be willing to accept the help and that guidance and be able to walk them through. So we're excited because we understand that sometimes that does take several tries of engagement also, right? For someone to acknowledge that, oh yes, I need that service, and it might take a few tries, and that's okay. That's okay as long as we know that we have definitely taken the time and provided the much needed resource. We always want to give that person their autonomy to self-determine and what they want to do and services they want to accept. So
do those mental health and legal health services extend to the Veterans Court?
Through our HCA, our mental health services, yes,
yeah.
There's
okay.
Mental health court, so we'll have a connection there as well.
Yeah.
Part of that is to really, on the VSO side, not just focused on just claims, but acknowledge that need, right? Like other extended supportive services, and be able to have that additional support to make that happen.
There's
for
tough, tough cases.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. To enhancing that connection,
right,
and that access, where, regardless of where it is and what's the most appropriate, you want to make sure that.
And you're not co-located. They're
no, we're not in the same. The only co-located is the OC for Betts, which means the Lana.
Yeah.
Okay. We're at the same. Which I actually. I really do think we need something on here and write red letters that say, because you guys in the audience probably don't know, even if you can't get an in-person or phone appointment for a month, you can walk in that day and they will see you. And I think a lot of people don't know that. So if you have a deadline and you need to be seen, they will find a way to fit you in. And so I would just, you know, again, I understand, or even just, hey, call this number or leave a message or whatever. I know you don't want to encourage people to just like walk in and not make appointments, but there are times where like you've got
times that we need to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think a lot of people probably see this and be like, "Well, I guess I just blew my deadline," you know.
Right.
So, but thank you very much for that update. Do we have anything else for Claudia? Well, wonderful. Thank you
so
much.
We have lots of things for Claudia.
Well, we do. but thanks. Okay. The and then Elena, it looks like she was unable. Committees. So we'll start with the Communications Standing Committee. So I want to, so he's, to be clear, still on OCVAC, but to your point, we're a little bit short staffed because we have several vacancies on OCVAC as well. And I will just remind everyone, in accordance with the bylaws, everyone should strive to be on a subcommittee.
So based on that, I'm going to withdraw my resignation and we'll continue to do this until we get more support or somebody's really passionate about it. But I think one of the things that we need to talk offline is what we need to focus on, what channels. It sounds like we're doing a lot of work with the website. The calendar is the big thing that I've looked at as an opportunity, but I can find out more about that. But that's a pretty easy fix to this part of our report.
All right, thank you. And I appreciate you withdrawing your resignation. And again, you know, there's not something, this is not, these subcommittees aren't meant to be full-time jobs, right? This is, it's designed to where you all meet and you figure out, okay, what is some value added? What are some things that need to be done to kind of prioritize them? And there's some months where there's not going to be a lot. But certainly appreciate your continued service to the subcommittee. All right, moving on to events outreach. I know Michael Radigan is at an active duty military event right now, and so he could not get out, and we do not have a report. Anyone else have anything to say about the events outreach committee?
I actually need to talk to him because I think a lot of the events that we have throughout the county with veterans, again, what we're trying to do is get a consolidated camp calendar where veterans organizations, say the VFW, can publicize their meetings so that vets have a place besides here, but other places in their community where they can go to. So I think that's ultimately our goal, but there are some administrative pieces of it, of vetting what we can put on there as being a county. So I'll work with Claudia and the staff on that.
Much appreciated. Moving on to the VSO metrics, again, unfortunately,
I put out last month just a consolidated data from the Big Voice for the last 2.5 years about. Yeah. So the next phase of that was to look at what VSOs we actually have to see how the numbers spike or there's a downturn. I kind of analyze, what happens. This is the school year started, so that way we got all these college fee waivers, and then December is down because we don't have school or whatever it is. But if you can help explain some of those highs and lows, that would be useful. And I think having the number of VSOs that are certified is important. Can you get that back to us?
Yeah, that certainly plays a role. Thank you, Steve, for that. As we looked, especially in the summer months, between that May, June, all the way through September, towards the end of September, where you see that spike, naturally, as the college tuition fee waiver program spikes, it opens up a lot of conversations with many as well, with their family members or veterans, if they're not the veteran themselves, to be able to address some other themes issues. So then you will naturally tend to see that trend during the summer months, and just naturally individuals are out and about during the summer months. So we tend to see a peak on that end. As we slow down into the holidays, it is literally the holiday time. So December and January seem to, by trend in the last couple of months, even prior to that, tend to be a little bit lower, just the natural individuals going on vacation, time frame through kind of that early quarter of just that calendar year is where, just internally on the staffing level, there were definitely some vacancies, and that plays a good role. When that happens, then we account for, as much as, let's say, we can fill a vacancy right where we saw a little dip on number of veterans served, and naturally the number of claims served, is for those reasons where we're off, basically operating on claims representative. Now that we've gotten some of those bills accredited, now we're slowly on an uptake again to file those claims, and we're going to start to see another hike as we are able to see a few more. Adjusted where we're filling in more and definitely triaging our walk-ins. So in a couple of trends, that is just that over the years we would see that is other needs. And that has opened up a lot of opportunities as well to address and help to get other services, apply for other claims filed and or maybe change a direction, right?
Yeah,
on what they thought. So yeah, we've been working diligently on that piece. So I'm very excited because we definitely, we are expecting to definitely see another shift in that trend from the number of veterans and our claims. Not just seasonal type of trends, but it also, yes, that information on why such a huge peak when we came in. Specifically, you had asked a question on July, September, just of this past 2023, where there was like a giant 200% increase. And that's when we get these staff accredited 3 months, 4 months later. Now we're like uptaking and increasing those number of claims filed. So we'll definitely see that, but that trend has been like really high peaks. So our goal is now to steady that out with our levels.
All that information you just presented, could you put it in writing and apply it to those numbers and those reports so that we can track that as well?
Because we can definitely.
How I see this being used is that, for example, Eric said that it takes 6 months of hands-on training to get a guy certified. Person, the BSL certified. Well, that's 6 months. And they're only there for 6 months, and that's not for me, and they leave. Supervisor level to say, well, we can't, you know, we need to make this, we need the board of supervisors not looking at the big boys.
No, and that comes back to our tasks at the BSO, right, in our administration. But maybe just for other reasons. So that's our also internal, because as we move forward and try to plan and try to prevent these types of vacancies, is it a human resource, factor? What do we need to look at there? Is it recruitment? Is this how we are? Level of staff, that definitely helps us when we might go to the board and say, we need a little more support. So all that really does, that is part of our responsibilities, right? To assess for that and to advocate for that.
We'll get that information by next month.
Yeah, we can. I wasn't sure if you wanted.
August.
Do you want the? Yeah, we will be darker than August, but it doesn't mean that we have to, wait until then, because you already provided the report and those questions there. Want to make sure that if that's something that you want to have, that then we can take care of that.
Please.
I'll work with Eric on that.
Resigning,
what
are we gonna have a new chair appointed, or are we gonna?
Oh, I guess I should.
I guess I move up.
Okay.
Stand down.
It's my understanding Eric may still stay on the subcommittee, but I can clarify that.
Sure.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Discovered is that given for turning down offers of housing was that they had pets that they couldn't take with them into that housing offer. And as we dug a little deeper, this is one of the things. So we didn't provide a formal report this this month, but in August, I expect we'll come back to. We made contact with Ben Gales, the CalVet rep, as well as Melody, and they both sit on the Orange County Veterans and Military Families Collaborative's housing group. And so they are meeting tomorrow, and I'm attending that meeting at 2 o'clock. If anybody's really interested in this subject, they're free to join us. But one of the things that we're initially finding out is most of the housing options, especially the permanent supportive housing options, do allow for pets, dogs, and cats. However, many of the veterans in, that want to bring in their animals, they don't have their shots, they don't have licenses, and therefore they're not allowed to bring in their pets. So we're going to start looking at, first of all, are there charitable organizations that can help get their pets licensed, get their shots, get the right medical care? And also, you know, is there some kind of flexibility where when they're taken into housing, they could get a grace period? So that's some of the questions we hope to find out a little bit more about.
I know a lot of city shelters, not a lot, but some of them offer like low cost or free programs for vaccinations, with licensing fees and stuff like that. They just want the shots. Right?
I mean, I'm even wondering the California Healthy Vets Initiative, that's that $38 million pot of money that was part of the Proposition 1 bill that passed. It provides grants for veterans' mental health. I wonder if it's not too big a stretch to say that these veterans who are homeless are in distress because they can't bring their animals in. There's some way we can't work with a local animal group to provide funds to make that not an obstacle.
And I'll touch base with you because I know why
you
work at a local shelter. So, but I have some thoughts. Okay, that's wonderful. Thanks for the report. I look forward to what you're doing at the meeting tomorrow. All right, and I think yeah, that's okay. Yeah, we are ready for our OC4 vets update.
Okay, let's see. Updates. Well, you know, last time I brought up Prop 1, and it's in. Veterans is that it looks like they're going to be closing some of the mental health services for CalWORKs. Mental health services for they're starting to unfold. I was just having a discussion in the car on the way over here, where are all these people going to get services? So more to come on that. That's one of the updates. The other update, this is more on a happy note. We had our country night Angels baseball game, which was a lot of fun. Okay, so the Angels didn't win, but the country night was fun. Night that you're inviting 400 veterans to come, because some people actually declined free tickets because they're fired. So, but yeah, about 400 people. To be able to go on the field. Be able to meet the country star. So that was fun. That's like our big annual event that is OC for Vet sponsored, along with OC Navigator. Or the emotional support for those. Sort of on a related note, because it came up last time, I did bring some copies of some of the regulations we have to follow as clinicians in order to write a letter like that. And I brought a sample letter if anyone wanted to look at it. But I have copies of like what the regulations we have to follow in order to write one of those letters if anyone wanted a copy.
Yeah, maybe we could talk afterwards. That would be great.
All right, well, thank you. Moving on to council comments.
I'll start. Well, I think the next meeting will probably be in Mission Viejo. I talked to our city staff, and it looks like, and then we also have Newport Beach coming also. They're open.
Right, Monica, that's a change. So we're going to try for Mission Viejo because that's south for our next meeting at 2 p.m., and we can get coordinating instructions and put that up on the website. And then we'll aim to have the October meeting, and I will write Jennifer Lumber.
I just want to tout a program with the VA. It's called the Million Veteran Program. As people know, I'm kind of the PACT Act, passion member on it. Part of the bottom line is I'm encouraging people, fellow veterans who have other issues similar to mine, is to be involved in the MVP, because what they're doing now is they're creating a database. Creating a database to be able to take, veterans like myself, and being able to trace, family, genes, type of service you were in field, and be able to look at trends so that they can better craft solutions. To sign for MVP.
The president to provide a reform for LGBT related discharges. And so that passed the Senate last week, and I understand the intent is to try and get it passed in the assembly before the end of Pride. The other one is I just want to make people aware of, I attended the memorial events here in Seal Beach. I attend every year. It's kind of a nice thing that we have two events. We have an abandoned submarine memorial, and that's really interesting. It's well done. You probably passed it for those who came here. It's right on Seal Beach Boulevard. It's part of the Naval Weapons Station. And if you go to that, they do a tolling of the bells ceremony for each of the boats that were lost from World War II through the present. And one of the really profound things is that all those boats, save two, were lost in the Second World War. It really gives you a sense of, what the Silent Service did during the Second World War. And that's usually at 11 o'clock traditionally here on every Memorial Day. And then there's a city event that's held right here in Eisenhower Park, which is right in front of the pier. And, this is a small town, and it's a kind of really small town. People standing. So, if you're looking for something to do on Memorial Day next year to remember the fall, it's a great place. the offerings I'm getting from the VA are including a lot of alternative therapies. They're trying to do more social things. And so, you know, but it's still something we hear, you know, as well.
Councilmember McDonald?
I have a request and a couple of items. Are we locked in to Newport Beach or Mission Viejo for the...
I will find out probably.
Reason being is, last February, I believe, or March, I had a function at the VFW post at 3173 in Anaheim, and it was veteran-centric. We brought in, and to your point, did a lot on the PACT Act, because I just had met with the Secretary of Veterans Affairs on the PACT Act, and I brought everybody together. On the 21st, the reason why this is a request, on that 21st of August at the VFW from 4 to 8, we're going to do the same thing. And as I'm sitting there looking at the notes, if we wait 1 week and go in on the 21st, the Wednesday, the 21st, then we can have our meeting from 2 to 4, and then we'd have all those other veterans in the house for something else, for another facility to talk and discuss. It doesn't take it away from your time, because you guys get a chance to get out before 5 anyway. But it's an opportunity for me to bring in. And one of the things I'm doing this year is bringing in, there's a bunch of groups and corporations that now have veterans groups. Case in point, Kaiser Permanente has a group called KP Vets. They have over 175 vets that work at that hospital, they're both hospitals, both in Anaheim and both in South County or Irvine. Southern California Edison, who will be one of my sponsors, has a group called Valor, which is their vet. So all their veterans will be there, and they're part of this. And there's a couple other groups I'm bringing in for that. So it allows me to bring in different veterans groups that normally wouldn't even know about what we're doing. So
I'd love to, and I would actually need county staff for this, because we've already adopted our schedule meeting, and I don't know if we, because we don't have an agenda item to vote on it. So are we allowed, because I know we can set the location, can we change the dates?
So you can cancel the I believe it's on August 14th, you can cancel that meeting and then do a special meeting for the 21st.
Okay.
A good parliamentary.
Or you can keep both if you would like to. You can keep both.
I mean, I don't think we need both. Mm-hmm. Does that work for everyone if we cancel that meeting and then I can make sure we all get notice of the set of the special meeting on that date? Does that work?
I'm just asking.
August,
just look at date.
Well,
I'm
asking. Yeah, for everyone to check their calendars.
Yeah.
I don't want to cancel a meeting and then us not have quorum and not be able to hold a meeting.
That's fair.
Anyway.
And the same thing would need to be for, like, if you were doing it at a city council chambers, it would be the ADA accessible.
I can't believe I had to check my calendar, realize that's the week my oldest daughter's getting married. I shouldn't be shy. I can't. I'm not able to.
Yeah. And that's the only reason I'm a little nervous.
But it's a great idea.
Regardless, we should, even if we have two separate meetings, I think we all put it on our calendars and do our darndest to be there, because I think it sounds really good.
Yeah, I mean, getting in front of more veterans.
The other piece of this too, and again, whatever y'all want to do, I'm locked and loaded on it, so I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna tell you I'm gonna feed you, so I don't want to enhance anything else you're trying to do. Okay. So. But it's just the idea that we are OCVAC and we do represent the county. And what better place to be with some of those major corporations who we've never really reached out to, will get a value of what we really do and what we, another avenue.
Yeah.
Anyway, I sold it.
And that's
the
Anaheim.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just couple things. Not that I gave you. Thank you for this. Allow me to ask for a request. I can give you an idea. I believe I sent most of you an opportunity at the flyer, or Valor sent you a flyer and told you what was happening with the cemetery, and you should have got a copy. I can tell you that at least a month ago, Lindsay Sandcow, that's secretary, and the deputy secretary, and a couple other people from up north came, met with the cemetery district, pretty much all of the county staff, Valor, and we had several, maybe 10, 12 legislators, both Republican and Democrat there, and some of the city mayors. So it's moving forward. We are at the point now where there are certain pieces that need to be to go to in front of the city of Anaheim, which will go on the 17th of this month. Excuse me, 17th of this month. Yeah, next on the 17th, next month. And then the other part will be in July. These are just little nuances that go with the property that the cemetery district has to get squared away, because the cemetery district pretty much is doing the infrastructure for the city, both the county cemetery and the veteran cemetery. So I can guarantee you that they're probably going to pass, but nothing happens until it happens. And I already know that Calvet has already pretty much got the letter toward the end of the month, and then to June, they will have sent the letter off to the feds to try to get some extra money for us to help build a cemetery again. So we're awful damn close.
Okay. Bobby, remind me what's how much money has been appropriated between the state and the county, and then how much
a bunch
is projected?
Right now, about 40 million. A bunch, man. Stanley, come on. It's about 40 million. And then the fun part about this, and it is a fun the budget. She's in control of that, so we have to worry about that, get caught up in the mess. But I can tell you what's been really great is that we have that we countries for our allies. So we have a spot right there for our veterans. So we're one of the only one that I know of in the United States that kind of does that, has done that. And so the only answer, the only question I cannot answer is I can't tell you when it's going to be done.
Yeah, that's what we'll be here.
Although everybody asked me that, and I said, you know, you go to Jack in the Box, that's the only time you can ask for something and get it done real quick. But we can't do it that fast. But I know that the infrastructure is being worked on. I know that thanks to the fire authority, they're up there doing some grading and some different stuff. There's been some changes made in it to the good news for the start. So I'm totally elated, and we're making it happen. And we're a couple months away from doing. In fact, what was pretty neat at the Anaheim State of the City, I had the honor and opportunity to do the Pledge of Allegiance flag salute, and got a chance to not only celebrate the 80th anniversary of D-Day, our good friend and pal Steve Spurnack went to Normandy, brought back some sand, and so I got a chance to hold up the sand from D-Day, from Normandy. Omaha Beach, and then as I started the Pledge of Allegiance, I had set it up with the city manager, so flag one from the cemetery was flying while we were doing the Pledge of Allegiance.
Wow.
Not that I believe in choreographing, but it was pretty cool.
Like
just showing off. Yeah. But no, that was pretty cool to do that. And other than that, just looking forward to doing some more stuff. Friday night is the Army birthday at VFW 3173. Marines are welcome. But there's a quota. No, but we have a state day.
Are you sure to pay out some paychecks?
No, that's on the 10th. Green crayons with crayons. But anyway, it's steak night at the BFW, and it's $10 for a steak. And the steak is big enough to feed a family of three. It's a big ribeye and with dessert and stuff. And then we're allowed to cut the cake. I'm going to go get a Marine sword, clean it, and use it. I'm just kidding. So we'll be doing that. So you're all more than welcome to stop by. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cool.
Yes, I just want. On Friday, I got to retire, which was June 6th. But the last 47 days, thanks for your patience, I've been on military orders in Gallup, New Mexico, and with the CBs and the Air Force, as a matter of fact, the engineers, we built a house on a reservation for this wonderful family. The family sent seven to World War II, four were quote talkers, and three were Army followed patent. And so this is the son. The father died at 100, but he was the one that was granted the house. And then when he died, it took 2 years for the son to qualify, and then COVID hit. So this poor families had this hole in the ground for 5 years, but they just had to rebar. So we rolled in and built this house in essentially 6 weeks. They're still doing the finish work now. But it was just fantastic. It was a great way to go out. But the thing I wanted to share with DocVec is so every 2 weeks a new crew would come in, and the new crew came in on Sunday, and then on Memorial Day, which was the 26th, right? That Monday we had to brief them, show them the house, and then say, okay, by the way, you got the day off, right? And they just flew in, they got the day off. I said, however, they don't have this opportunity to go up to John Kinsel Sr., was a code talker, he's 107 years old. And he was 85 miles away, and we contacted the family ahead of time, and he just needed his roof redone, his arm. And so I asked these 26 sailors and airmen if they wouldn't mind going. All 26 of them, of course, did. It was just a wonderful event, and we got to see this guy at 107. He was very.
So Navajo? Was he Navajo or Apache?
Navajo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was just beautiful. And it was just great experience. Just to know that our service people, they're always here. So.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Well, without any further ado, I'll go ahead and conclude this meeting. Concludes today's agenda. The next meeting is TBD, so please do check the website, but it will be in August.